Retro Hangover, supported via Patreon by listeners like you. We'd especially like to thank patrons Lyle McCarnes, Ashton Ruby, Randall Quiggle, Tony G, Stud Still Smash the Milkman, Raging Demon, Katie Quick, JC, Megan Caruso, Mast Keaton, Andrew Liguori, Ozzy Garcia, The Retro Vixen, Adam from The Good, The Bad, and The Backlog, Lunchbox, aka The Disgruntled Gamer, Discimera, Jenny E, Rick Firestone, Parallax Puddles, Soha, Dave Jackson, Matt, aka Stormageddon, Retro Overdrive, Van Fernal, Keith Gasper, Eric Guess, Nomad from the Retro Wildlands Podcast, Ash Event, Alan Bingham, Storm Beagle, Ryan, Player One, Mike the Ref from Backbreaker Gaming, B. Ross from Super Garbage Day, Darth Emick, Low Five Alex, Alt, Renner Dreaming, and Joel Stoneburner. Your continued engagement and generous donations are deeply appreciated. Welcome to The Flight, a consumable curation of champions and catastrophes that is considerate of your chronometer. I am Chris Goplein, and I am coming to you in threes. I am really not, but the best things come in threes, or tragedies come in threes. I'm not sure. Don't curse me or give me too many benefits. I'm very confused. You know who's going to bail me out of this right now? It is Shane Triple Dick Dragon Koski. He's one short of an echidna. How are you doing today, Shane?
I don't know what that says that we both were on the same wavelength about the echidna joke without even talking about it. So I'm sure that says something.
I love echidnas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, if you think that I'm going to be able to bail you out of that one, I'm afraid you are sorely mistaken, sir.
Just curse three times.
That's right. Spin around three times. Something about salt over the shoulder. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know any of these, you know, old wives' tales. But I, you know who might is Tony G, who recommended this topic to us over there on Discord from our top five suggestions. Thank you, Tony G. Tony G actually wanted this to be the topic of the best threesomes. In gaming, he did clarify it and say it was third in the series. I see what you're doing, Tony G. I don't know what to think here because third in the series and threesomes, very different things. That's like three at once, and this is three singularly. So I guess this is an echidna minus one jerking off.
I almost want to leave that pause there just for how awkward it is. people are going to be like, did my podcast player stop working? What's going on? Oh, man. I don't even know how to follow that, but we sure do have some games to talk about, and they are, in fact, the third ones in their series. They are. If we had subtitles for these episodes, like we do our mainline episodes, it absolutely would be one short of an echidna.
You know, you could just make it that.
I could, but you know, we have a what's the word I'm looking for? Not a standard, but because we certainly don't have those.
No, we don't.
Yeah, I don't know. An expectation. Let's go with that. You know, we have to be consistent in our naming convention.
I guess. We gotta sorry, perverts. Yeah. We can't do it.
Just know that I was
normally
thinking
we do.
It.
Yeah. We all do, even the people who like our naming conventions.
Right. Well, I suppose with all of that out of the way, as I said, we should just kind of jump right into this thing. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead and start off today with your number five third entry in a game series.
Number five.
Right. So I don't think we have to say this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. These are the top five games in my personal top five. I had a big list. This could change depending on my emotions, like many of the lists I make on this show. And if it's not on here, maybe I didn't play it. Maybe I wasn't feeling it that day. I don't care. I was going to say I'm sorry, but why the fuck would I apologize for my taste? Not doing that. So here we are. My number five. This is a game I was really wavering on whether or not I wanted to put it in here. But then I remember all the good memories that this game had with friends or just the feel-good moments I had with it. And it was just so representative of an era. And it was so much better than its two predecessors. And I really think, pun intended here, it struck a chord with the people who played it. It is Guitar Hero 3. Just a brilliant entry in the franchise. It was, I think, the main game that came out on the next generation of consoles for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. I think it solidified the series as a smash hit and really kept that plastic peripheral train going. I think this was the game that most people would identify as the game that they probably played after, you know, Guitar Hero and Guitar Hero 2 laid that foundation and really got everything rolling in terms of momentum. But I think this was the one that was the breakout hit, and I think it represents it in almost every single way. The track list is incredible. The DLC is incredible. I know that's sacrilegious to say. The peripherals were improved. Everything about it, I remember about Guitar Hero 3 was just, it was a better experience than anything that had been released at that point. And it hadn't completely gotten into the realm of DLC trackless. There was so much content on that disc, you didn't really need to delve into that world like you kind of would have to later with Rock Band or the Guitar Hero expansions, which is fine because there's a big track list out there for those games. Don't get me wrong. There's a ton of tracks. But I really think that this consolidated experience was really representative of that era and everything that people were doing with it and the fun and the parties and how everything was connected. Oh, Guitar Hero 3 is fantastic. So Guitar Hero 3 is my number five.
No, that is a great pick. I'm actually kind of ashamed that I didn't even think about that with, and I'm sure Lyle is going to chastise me in our Discord later because, God, we spent so much time playing Guitar Hero 3. Holy shit. Yeah.
It's such a good game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A fun thing about that is fairly recently when Chris and I went to one of our local arcades, I played a little bit of the Guitar Hero machine they had there thinking, you know, I still got it. I in fact do not still got it. Let's go with Rusty. I'm a little rusty. All right. So this list was hard and not because, you know, it was like difficult to find things to talk about, but actually it was hard because there are a lot of things I could talk about. And so there may be some like notable omissions here, but I'm going to start with one that I don't think anybody was necessarily expecting out of me, and that is Splinter Cell Chaos Theory. It is the third entry in the series by Tom Clancy, or at least endorsed by him, and starring my man Sam Fisher. And I don't generally like this style of game, this sort of like, you know, very stealth-oriented I'm almost hesitant to call it an action game. It is really more just centered around the stealth elements more than anything. This isn't my go-to, but I remember when this came out, I had played Pandora Tomorrow and the original, actually. For some reason, Splinter Cell just really stuck with me. I don't know why, when other games that are similar to this just didn't. But both of those games, also great. But I think, this is not a hot take by any stretch, I think Chaos Theory was probably the peak of the Splinter Cell series, so much so that it's been referred to as one of the best games ever. And I think rightly so. It really nails that stealth action formula. It basically takes what they did in the first two games and just refines it to just almost near perfection. And it is just, it's a joy to play. It's very tactical. It's very rewarding when you execute those plans and things go, and you genuinely feel like a sneaky badass, like, you know, undercover agent. And man, it is, I remember having such a good time with this. Now, the other part of it that I didn't participate in so much, but was one of the reasons that so many people liked it, was the co-op modes that were included with it. A lot of people really dug that, but you can actually still get this, either the OG, or they released an HD remaster as part of the Splinter Cell trilogy for the PS3 back in like 2010. So there are definitely multiple ways to play it, but Chaos Theory is a solid third entry. And like I said, probably the pinnacle of the Splinter Cell series.
Never played Splinter Cell, so I wish I could relate. I just can't. It's probably a good pick, though. I'll take your word for it.
Number four.
All right, my next entry is going to be a fighting game, and it's not Tekken 3. I'm kind of shocked. I do love Tekken 3. It could have made this list. Honestly, I didn't really think about it, but Tekken 3 is just outside, because I'm going to go with another third entry, which I think is one of the premier 2D fighters in the game, and that is Street Fighter Alpha 3. Now, I actually do prefer Street Fighter Alpha 2 to Alpha 3. I think I might be in the minority in that. It's one of those weird things. I talk to people and they seem to think Alpha 2 is better than Alpha 3 in the small group I usually communicate with. But then there's others who say that Alpha 3 is better. And then, like, you look at the greater discourse, and a lot of people just completely love everything that Street Fighter Alpha 3 does. And there's good reason for that. And I mean, I also love it. There's so many options in terms of how you can fight your battles, the modes that you have, in terms of you can have 2-on-1 or 1-on-2, or you can build your own character in the world tour mode, kind of like with a lot of RPG elements, which was very unique for a fighting game in 1999, or was it 98? I think it was 99, 2000. And you could take that character once you built it up in world tour mode, and you could play that character in arcade mode or against your friends, which was incredible. Not to mention an incredibly gigantic roster, not quite at Marvel vs. Capcom 2 levels, but comparable. You're talking about all the characters from Super Street Fighter to Turbo, and all the characters from the Street Fighter Alpha series, not to mention new, I think some characters in Street Fighter 3 Max that were from Street Fighter 3. So you're talking about a gigantic roster with tons of different ways to play, tons of different ways to customize your characters. It's just a very friendly fighting game in a series of Street Fighter that's still to this day my favorite aesthetic. Very anime. I love everything about the Alpha series. And even though I love Alpha 2, and I would prefer to play that because of the smaller roster and increased balance, I really do think that Street Fighter Alpha 3 is the crowning achievement of the Alpha series, and even 2D fighters, 1v1 2D fighters as a whole for Capcom. I know Street Fighter 3 Third Strike fans are probably not going to agree with me on that. Sorry, I just can't get behind Street Fighter 3, any of those games, which is why it will never be on any of my lists of any sort, but Street Fighter Alpha 3 will be. So that's my number four. There you go. Street Fighter Alpha 3.
All right. Well, completely going in an opposite direction from, well, actually all of our entries so far. I am going to go with my number four being the one and only Warcraft 3.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you surprised because it's this low on the list?
No, I mean, I'll let you go on here. I'm just surprised because I think it was a massive step back from Warcraft 2. But
you're one of those people. Okay.
Yes, I am one of those people.
Okay. So here's the thing, right? I've never been like a huge strategy game RTS kind of person. I think a big reason that I was into Warcraft was just because, like, I was a giant Blizzard fanboy, and, you know, I was already really deep into like Diablo and things like that. And actually, the more I think about it, outside of maybe like Command and Conquer, Blizzard RTSs were really the only ones I ever played. I never really branched out into things like you know, total annihilation or whatever. So, so it's probably no surprise that then I was pretty into Warcraft 3. But the thing is, what really made it for me was the friend group that I had at the time, because we had many a night where we would just LAN party it up and do nothing but custom Warcraft 3 maps just all night. And those are some good memories for me. And so Warcraft 3 is sort of, you know, inextricably tied to that heavy amount of nostalgia that I have for my teen years playing on big chonky ass PCs with CRTs, with being probably like 90 degrees in a fairly small room with a bunch of dudes and like a rack of Mountain Dew. So yeah. And of course this also includes the Frozen Throne expansion, but yeah, man, I just, there was a lot of good times with Warcraft 3. So
I am glad you liked it.
Thank you.
Number 3.
So my number 3, you almost think you're the number 3 should be the number 1 for a top 3, but
yeah.
We're not that clever. But my number 3 is tapping into Sega here. I've been doing a lot of Sega picks lately. In fact, technically my next 3 picks are all going to be Sega games. A little bit of a spoiler there. But my number 3 is a game that I played as a kid and I really liked, but I don't think I realized how much I liked this game, or really a series of games within a game, until I played it about 3 years ago. And it became my favorite strategy RPG of all time, which for a long time was Final Fantasy Tactics. So for it to surpass that, I have to have a high opinion of it. This is a tremendous game, locked on the Saturn. It's probably never going to be re-released in any form ever again. I don't know why. Probably because Sega lost the source code, like a bunch of chodes that they were during that era, like they did with so many other games. But my number 3 is going to be Shining Force 3, and it's 3-part, I guess, compilation. It's not a compilation, but there's 3 separate releases, 3 games that make up one game. However you want to like combine it, term it, if you just want to say it's the first game that was released, the one that came out in North America, or you want to say it's all 3 games to make one game, like a holy trinity of strategy RPGs, fine, whatever you want to do. But I'm putting it my number 3. I think this is the best tactical RPG that was released during that era. It's my personal favorite ever released. Front Mission 3, by the way, could have easily made this list, because that's another great one. But it didn't, because Shining Force 3 is here. And it's wholesome, but it's... I mean, it's just wholesome. It's basic. It's easygoing. It doesn't have permadeath like you psychos like for your Fire Emblem fans. I don't know what's wrong with you. But it's better than Fire Emblem. In fact, I'll die on that hill. Shining Force 3 is better than any Fire Emblem game that was released up to that point. And I'll say up to that point because I haven't played any Fire Emblem games recently, so I don't want to go too far there. But hey, Shining Force 3, fantastic game, and you owe it to yourself if you are a fan of Fire Emblem or any grid-based tactical strategy RPGs, whatever we're calling it nowadays. I love it. There's a relationship system to an extent. I mean, they don't have babies or waifus or tea time or any weird crap like that. You just learn how to fight better and kill enemies better, which is really what it's all about, because you're at war. So Shining Force 3, everybody, my number 3 pick.
All right. So are you ready for me to probably piss off some more purists with my next pick?
Yes, because I'm all about that. I love it.
Great. All right. So my number three is Fallout 3. And I know that there are some diehard, you know, isometric Fallout fans out there that think that Fallout 3 was probably the worst thing to happen to the Fallout series.
Yes.
I disagree. Fallout 3 okay. is fucking fantastic, and it was the reason that I got into the Fallout series in the first place, because I tried to play Fallout 1 and 2, and I never finished either of them because they just, for whatever reason, they just did not hook me. Like, it I don't know, man. I kind of bounced pretty hard off of both of them. And it might have been a wrong place, wrong time thing for me, that it was just like I came to those maybe a little too late, and they were just, they felt a little too archaic, like, to try to get into. That may have been the case, and I'm willing to admit that. But man, I put so many hours into Fallout 3. Like, the combination of the sort of like post-apocalyptic setting with the first-person perspective and this like wide open world, coupled with the RPG leveling up mechanics and all of the NPCs and the quests and just the exploring. Like, I spent so much time in Fallout 3, not even necessarily doing anything specifically quest related. Like, I would just explore the wastelands and just go find random abandoned buildings and basically be a scavenger and just hoard everything I could find. And man, it was a good time. I really enjoyed playing Fallout 3, and I did not get that same experience from Fallout 4. And I've talked about that before and why that is. I'm mostly looking at you, base building mechanics. Those can fuck right off. But
agreed.
But nah, man. Like, and here's one thing, and I think some folks might not know this, even if you've been listening to the show for a while, but I actually have never played Fallout New Vegas. A lot of people consider it to be even better than Fallout 3 itself. And at some point, I'm going to get around to doing that and see for myself. But until I have done that, I think Fallout 3 is still my like top tier Fallout experience. And I know that is just irritating the absolute living shit out of some people, but that's just my experience, man. Like, that whole like first person like open world to explore was just fantastic to me.
By the way, Fallout died when Fallout 3 came out to me, just letting you know that.
You're one of those people. Okay, got it.
Once again, but I've never played it, so I'm even worse for saying that.
You just don't like idea of it. Okay, got it.
Exactly. I'm horrible, but I do need to play it someday. It's over 10 years, by the way, Shane. It could be on our show.
Oh, it will be. Although I guess, like, to be fair, I kind of feel like we should probably talk about 1 and 2 before we skip directly to 3, but you know.
Semantics.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, just to piss more people off, just so people know this, Mass Effect 3 was my number 5 for a few days, because it is that good. And if you don't think so, get over it. Mass Effect 3 is a great game.
There you go.
But it's not on my list. Yeah, I just think it's a great game, and it doesn't deserve the hate.
Number 2.
So, but moving on to my number 2. This is probably going to score me more hipster points, and I don't think it's going to make anyone upset per se. They're probably going to roll their eyes a little bit, because it might feel like there's recency bias here, but there's not, because I haven't played the remake of it. I am going off the version of the game that I played for the first time. Jesus, what? How long has it been now? Like 15 years ago? But this game really turned me around on a series, an entire series of games that I skipped out on that I almost universally love to this day. And it's because of this game. And that's Persona 3. Persona 3 is, in my opinion, the best Persona game, or by its full Christian name, Shin Megami Tensei Persona 3, because all of a sudden we want to drop that when we become cool, right? Persona 5? Yeah. We just want to pretend that SMT doesn't exist anymore because it's a little convenient or something. But yeah, Persona 3 is a banger of a game. It has some darker themes. It has more traditional dungeon crawling elements to it. I know, like, people who are playing the remake right now, Persona 3 Reload, say that they improve a lot of things about the game, a lot of quality improvements. I really do want to play it. My son's playing it right now, and he's having a blast with it. It's on Game Pass. I really want to get a physical copy of it. I don't have one because it is on Game Pass, and I don't feel pressured to buy it at the moment. But Persona 3 was the game that really awakened my eyes to Atlus, not just the Persona series. It did open my eyes to the Shin Megami Tensei series. It opened my eyes to the Devil Summoner series and so many other things that Atlus was doing that for some reason it was in my blind spot forever. I didn't know the excellence that Atlus was putting out until Persona 3 came out, and I don't think it's been matched. I know a lot of people like Persona 4 more. I just think, and Persona 4 is dark too. Persona 3 I think strikes a slightly darker tone overall in terms of its themes, but it's not like Persona 4 is slouching. And then you get to Persona 5, which I think is, it's a fine game. I'm not hating on Persona 5, but I do think that Persona 3 is the superior story, the superior arc, and just the superior experience overall once it's enjoyed in its entirety. The series has definitely moved into more style, and not to say it's lacking in substance, but the focus has definitely been more on style with 4 and 5 than what you got in 3. But 3 had more style than what you were seeing in 1 and 2, which are very difficult to go back to, particularly 1. And 2 has its own little quirks that I know a lot of fans really do like. But 3 is really that bridge of the gap that combines everything that was great about the first two and everything that's actually great about 4 and 5. So Persona 3 is a standout title. It's an RPG, obviously, and it's one of the series that I love. I hold very dear in my heart, and I've played for hours upon hours. I know I've played Persona 3 for probably more than 300 hours at this point. I know MMO RPG fans are going to roll their eyes, but 300 hours in a video game is probably my max before I say I'm never playing it again. And I would probably go back and play Persona 3 Reload if I ever find the time to do so ever again in my life, because I do think it's legitimately that good. I look forward to playing it again, which is definitely not something I can say for Persona 4 or 5. So yeah, Persona 3 is my number 2, and I love it.
All right. Well, let's see. The other thing I realized about this is as part of being a spoken word format, I try to make sure that I don't repeat myself very often, or at least make good use of some synonyms. And I realize on these flight episodes, I usually pick up with my choices with something like "all right then." I got to figure out how to change that. But anyway, my number 2 is going to be not my favorite entry in this particular series, but pretty much a very, very close second, and that is Dark Souls 3. Probably not nice. Terribly surprising, I'm sure, but...
No.
Yeah, man, so, okay. I'm not going to pontificate too long on this, because this will turn into just a full-ass episode, and that is not the point of the flights, but... Man, so I really like Dark Souls the OG for a lot of reasons. I've gone over that in pretty solid detail, I think, at this point. Also, shout out to Matt Stormageddon, if you want to go check out their side quests episodes. I was on there recently talking about Dark Souls, so go check that out if you want to hear some more of my thoughts. But while Dark Souls is my favorite, Dark Souls 3 is arguably the most refined of the Dark Souls games. And that may be sort of like a obvious take, given that it's the third one, but that doesn't always happen. And I think they took a lot of the lessons they learned from the first two and sort of melded them all together into what became Dark Souls 3. And while it doesn't maintain some of the pretty critical pieces that made me like the OG so much, namely the interconnected world, they sort of stuck with the more like teleport to different areas kind of mechanic. Overall, it is just a very finely polished, enjoyable, Souls experience. And so I think it definitely deserves to be this high on this list. Only topped by one other one, and as soon as I say what it is, I'm sure that you'll know why. So there you go.
The devil's in the details, right, Shane?
It is. It is indeed.
Yes.
Number 1.
My number 1 is probably going to shock people, a little bit, particularly because of all the hatred that I have assailed at the second entry. I have said that the second entry is an abomination. The second entry is poorly designed, and that the first entry is better than the second entry. But this third entry is the shining example of how to do this game series correctly, do this game series well, and is at the peak of this game series until much later when you took a fan of the series and they made a game out of love for this because the main creators couldn't wrap their heads around what made this franchise so special and excellent. So my number one is Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I was not expecting that.
It is a fantastic game. I love Sonic 3, and I love when you can just put it on a strap-on with Sonic and Knuckles and just jam that baby right into the hole of your Sega Genesis. It's great, and I know I'm just being a dick here, but you know, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, I think, is one of the premier platformers for the 16-bit generation, which was a generation known for its 2D platformers. I think it does everything it needs to do. It's a fast game. It innovates on some of the core mechanics that were established before in terms of giving the player more shields and those shields having varying stipulations depending on the environment on providing advantages or disadvantages. Like if you're in a fire shield, you can run through fire without damage. Or if you're in a bubble shield, you can go underwater without having to worry about breathing, which apparently is why people hate Labyrinth Zone, because they have skill issues. And if you have the lightning shield, you can grab rings that just are all around you. They gravitate towards you like a magnet. That has two stages as opposed to three, and which kind of streamlines the game a little bit better. It saves your fucking progress, which is something that all game companies should figure out by the third installment in Eras of Battery Backup. Mario 3. I'm just saying that if you want to make a game that respects the player's time, respects the time that the fandom has put into it, and do more with a game than has ever been done before, Sonic 3 fits that bill to a T. And the level designs are infinitely better than anything you saw in Sonic 2. There's way less bullshit. There's way less jank. The special levels are better. The graphics are better. The music is on par with Sonic 2. But for the most part, like, this is a massive upgrade in every sense of the word. It is, like, the perfect Sonic the Hedgehog experience. And anyone who actually wants to say that, like, Sonic is a bad game, and, like, you're just being a contrarian when it comes to Sonic 3. I know I would probably be a contrarian when it comes to Sonic 2, but I know I'm not wrong there. But I know I am right on Sonic 3. It is the best. It's the best third entry, in my opinion, of all time. I could probably change my mind on this next week. It'd probably be Mass Effect 3 next week, and me talking about how great the endings are, just so I could piss off people. But today, I'm sticking with Sonic 3.
All right, yeah, like I said, I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. All right, well, mine is far less.
Sonic 3.
Yeah, so mine is far less surprising. I think probably the most surprising thing about my list, actually, is that Silent Hill 3 is not on it anywhere. I thought long and hard about that one, but...
That's incredibly surprising.
I know, but...
But it is a dip. It's a big dip.
Yeah. I mean, I still really liked it, but when I stacked it up to the other options I had, it just kind of got edged out. But my number one, as far as third entries in a series go, is, of course, Contra 3, The Alien Wars.
Oh, such a good pick! That's a great pick!
Because it is objectively the best Contra game, and I will continue to stand by that. And I don't think my mind is going to be changed by the new one that just got released. Although I've played the demo and it seems pretty solid. I'm not super hype about the fact that the early bird, like, buy-in on Steam, by the way. You get 10% discount and 1,000 Contra coins to spend in the shop. So that, that doesn't feel good. We're going to see how that one works out. But
gross.
Mm-hmm, yep, don't love that. But anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Contra 3 for the Super Nintendo, which is a fucking hell of a game. And even though I have not actually gone and played every other Contra, I don't care. I'm going to stick by my belief that this is the best Contra game that has ever been made. And there you go. I don't think I don't really need to say much more about it. Like, it's fantastic. It's like damn near side-scrolling run-and-gun perfection, and you should play it. So there you go.
I thought you were going to say Diablo 3, but then I as soon as you said Contra 3, I'm like...
I couldn't in good conscience put Diablo 3 on the list. Like, is it a good game now? Yes. Was it an absolute shit show for quite a while? Also, yes. And I just don't feel like it qualified. So there you go. And yeah, that's coming from a diehard Diablo fan. So,
yeah, I would have been. I don't want to say would have been disappointed in you, but I would have been surprised because I was expecting it.
Yes, I don't think that my, you know, like residual Blizzard fanboyism has completely taken over my better judgment, but I am still playing Diablo 4. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, I guess.
That's true. You probably put a ton of hours into Diablo 3 as well.
Well, yeah, but that's also because it actually turned out to be a good game, you know, after a while.
Also, kind of shocking, I didn't put in, Dragon Quest 3, but I have not put enough hours into it.
Mm.
So...
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, this is one of those lists that honestly we could probably fairly easily do a part two to this one. There's so many out there.
Certainly.
So hey, you know what? That actually functions as a fantastic segue that I definitely meant to do. So if you would like to see us talk about some more third entries in a series, or perhaps a completely different topic for our top five lists, you can participate in democracy, and you can do it by heading over to our link tree. So just go to linktr.ee/retrohangover and find yourself that there Patreon button, and you can become a patron of the show for as little as $1 a month, or whatever the equivalent is for wherever you happen to be at this particular moment. And that gets you in the door. That's it. It's a pretty low bar of entry. And you can get in on all the patron activities, including suggesting and voting on these here flight topics. So there you go. So you can check that out. We also do have our merch store going, which I feel like at some point soon we need to get some new designs up there, because it's been a hot minute.
We do.
So we need to get a refresh going over there. But that is not to say that the ones we have are not worth your time or money, because if I do say so myself, we have some pretty slick designs over there. So definitely go check that out. And you can also see our socials, as well as our YouTube channel, where we post the VODs from our Twitch streams, which we'll talk about in just a moment, as well as video versions of all of these episodes. Perhaps you are, in fact, listening to this episode right now on YouTube. There are, in fact, people that do that. So if you are one of those people, hello, and we're glad that you're you know, interacting and consuming the show in that fashion. So it makes the time to upload these things over there worthwhile. So thank you for that. And Chris, if people would like to come and they, you know, genuinely just have nothing better to do with their time on a Sunday evening, where could they go to maybe, you know, chat with some people and watch us play games, maybe? Okay,
so if you head on over to twitch.tv/retrohangover, you can find us playing video games of some kind. Whatever we're feeling like. Sometimes it's janky. Sometimes we just go back to play a game that we feel like playing. It's never like related to the episode anymore.
Yeah, we dropped that a long time ago.
Yeah. But if you just head on over there, we have fantastic conversations with our fantastic group of people. And we hope to see you there. And that would be at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays over at retrohangover.twitch.tv. And until then, Shane.
Also, please don't go to retrohangover.twitch.tv because that will get you nowhere. I don't know.
Did I say retrohangover.
You sure did.
Twitch.tv/retrohangover.
You could try that. I'm not going to guarantee where that's going to take you, but you know.
No, yeah, don't go there. Go to twitch.tv/retrohangover.
Yeah, just.
I don't think I've ever gotten that fucked up. I don't know where that even came from. retrohangover.com/twitch.tv.
That wasn't even a .com. You were just like retrohangover.twitch.tv. There you go. That's where to go. Love it.
That's awesome.
If that was a valid domain name, I would go and register it, but I don't think it is. So, all right.
It'll be a porn site soon.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, with all of that having been said, until next time,
play with your echidna looking joysticks.